Blog Talk Radio.
You are tuned in to Paranormal Horizons with your hosts, Jason Ophir and Sherry Pang. Stay tuned as we enter into the world of the paranormal, a world of ghosts, UFOs, psychics, and even Bigfoot. The show is about to begin. And we are back once again. Welcome all the listeners out there in the World Wide Web to another episode of Paranormal Horizons. I am your host, one of your hosts, Jason Ophir, here with our co-host, Sherry Pang. And tonight we have an exciting guest, a guest that's been on the show a couple of times, maybe even three times. I don't recall. We have Archbishop Ron File, who is with the Order of Exorcists and gives us a lot of great information out there in the world of exorcisms and evil. And it's a nice change to be able to talk about it, even though it's kind of a dark subject. It keeps everybody educated and informed on that there is dark forces out there waiting to prey on the people. So we'll bring him in just a second. And Sherry's with us. Sherry, how are you doing?
Very good. How are you, Jason?
I'm doing not too bad. I'm not too excited about having to go back to work tomorrow, but I'll worry about that when it happens.
Okay.
So what's your, before we bring Archbishop File in, what's your feeling on possession and demons and exorcism?
Well, personally, I feel that there is such thing as possessions. I feel that if you leave yourself open to the dark side, there could be very well be open to things that you may have no control of. And it may be sometimes people may label it as mental illness or psychotic disorders. But I do personally believe that there are people that are supposedly possessed or demonic possessions where Ron needs to come in and take care of the severe cases. So that's my feeling.
I'm kind of a skeptic, and Archbishop File, I think, knows that. But I'm not skeptic to the point of I'm like a total disbeliever. We were talking briefly before the show, is I kind of have the opinion of if I think about something, I'm going to give it power, and I really don't want to manifest anything like that into my life, so I try not to think about it. It's a little bit funny because we're doing a show on it, so that always makes me a little bit nervous. But let's bring them on, and let's get this started.
Okay.
Archbishop File, you are live. How are you?
Outstanding. Very good, thank you.
Great.
Well,
hello there.
It's been a while since we had you on the show, and we're all eager to get some updates on what's going on out there. But for the benefit of the listeners that aren't familiar with you and your organization, maybe we can just give everybody a rundown.
Well, sure. We have a kind of an interesting organization. We're international, actually. We're an organization that identifies with people that may have problems in the area of the demonic. We have an international ministry of exorcism. And our members are not only clergy, but we also have investigators. And they basically are the very first people that are seen when we're requested for our services.
Okay.
Our organization is about, we're just in 24 countries as of today. We are in about 18 U.S. states. And we're available in the event that someone may have a need of our services, which are, of course, free of charge.
And is there a lot of demand for that? Or do you get a lot of people contacting you saying that they're having a lot of problems? I mean, how prevalent is evil out there?
Well, evil is all around us. It's we get calls every single day. We get requests from around the world. Most people are complaining about demonic infestations. And what we do is we send our teams out to these locations, and they do what we refer to as an assessment. They would interview the person who's requested our services, along with every person in the household. And then they basically do what is referred to as a demonic investigation, which takes place from the outside to the inside of the location itself. And at that point, our investigators would collect all the physical evidence. And if it's a demonic possession, then our organization requires from the client to furnish us with mental and psychological and health examinations, and then that would be forwarded to our main office. And at that point, we could make a final assessment in regards to what services are needed at the time. And then, of course, we'll be there for them.
Yeah, that's... Now, there's several levels. You said demonic infestation. Now, there are a few different categories of activity, or however you would put that. Is the infestation that's kind of in the middle? So you have, or I could have this totally backwards. I don't remember. But possession is ultimately the end, and then before that, you have manifestation. And was there something before that?
Well, there's demonic oppression.
Oppression. That's what I was thinking of. Yeah.
And they're not in any particular order per se. It depends on the case. Each case is totally different, so we have a different approach in regards to each individual case. If the case is regarding a demonic possession, which is extremely rare, but it does happen, and when that does occur, we have to continue our detailed investigation. We collect all the documentation we need from their physicians, and then we have our own physicians in our organization. And so they would just review the reports, and they would forward their recommendations to my office. At that point, we make a decision in regards to what action should be taken at that time. We do an in-depth investigation, and we make sure that the case is a valid case, because we're dealing with, as I call all the time, the human condition. Since we're dealing with the human condition, we have to look at every angle and make sure that it's truly a valid case and not just a means of some form of psychosis. And if that be the case, then we have to approach it in a different way. So there's different approaches to every case, because every case is very unique and different.
Would you say that it seems to me that mental illness is probably pretty prevalent out there, and with rampant drug use, which I'm sure is a factor for people having sort of demonic issues. Would you say that you find in evaluating these cases a larger proportion to be mental illness, or is it 50-50?
You know, there's no real percentages per se to base on it, since each case is totally different. There's no real percentages. I can't really tell you that 90% of these are cases of some form of psychosis. Or I can't tell you that this is just simply a case that where the person wants attention and therefore is seeking and reaching out to an organization such as ours. It's real hard to say and give you an exact percentage per se, because since each case is different, we approach it in step by step, and each case is done, you know, quite frankly, separate from the other. So there's a multitude of things that could take place, and we have to document everything and then take the proper course of action. I would say if a person has a psychosis, it's still not outside the possibility that there might be some type of demonic involvement as well. The two can coexist, and sometimes the one can actually increase the other. So by doing this, you know, we have to be able to extremely careful when we are doing our assessments. We have to make sure that all the bases are covered, and we take our time. The average case can take anywhere from 3 to 6 months. And the reason it takes so long is we have to make sure we have the proper documentation in place before we take any action. Because, you know, in the world that we live in today, there are so many things that could go wrong. And, of course, you know, we have to look at also the legality of it, lawsuits and things of this nature, in the event that someone should commit suicide in the process of our investigation. We don't want to be held responsible for that. So we have to make sure that our people, our investigators, have all the information and evidence in place before we proceed. And if we're waiting for reports from their family physicians, that could take, you know, anywhere from a few weeks to a couple of months. It just simply depends as to how quickly the physicians or whoever we're requesting reports from, how fast they could turn around and send us, you know, these detailed examinations, so we can make a proper assessment. So as I said, it could seem like forever, especially if you're the person who is waiting to be serviced, and because we only have so many members, and we're not in every state in the United States, and we're not in every country. As I said, we're only in 24 countries, and I believe the count is like 198 countries worldwide. So we're just have just a little bit of a pie, if you will. So we're constantly recruiting not only clergy, but people who are experienced lead investigators who are willing to be trained in demonic investigation assessment. So we're constantly recruiting people, and so we could accommodate the many cases that are coming in. Right now we have a backlog in many parts of the country. When I say backlog, I mean people who are waiting to be serviced, because as I said, each case can take it could take a few days, a few weeks, a few months. If we're talking about demonic possession, it can take between 3 to 6 months before we actually act on that case. If it's an infestation, you know, it could be a lot less, because there's less documentation that's required from outside agencies. Outside agencies would be the clinics and perhaps maybe their family physicians and social workers and so on. And so if that's not part of the whole process, then it would take a lot quicker. Well, as I said, infestations and can take a lot, you know, can be done much quicker than a case of possession.
What do you think about that, Sherry? Have you ever ran into anything that you would consider dark or evil?
No, not necessarily. I would rather not expose myself. I have a question for Ron. If you're open, and this is not me in particular, but you see people that do tarot cards or pendulums or crystals, are they opening that gateway to manifestations on the dark side, Ron?
I would say so. Understand, okay, all these things, these tools that people use, they're not so much a tool to open the door of the demonic or in regards to the dark side, if you will. But what it is, it boils down to what your intent is. If your intention is to sum up a demon, then you are probably going to be very successful. If you're open to the possibility of communicating with spirits and your intent is to have a real dialogue, then you're inviting the element into your space. So I'm going to backtrack just a bit. Jason had asked you a question, have you ever seen evil? And you say you try to avoid it. And I think we all would like to say the same thing, but the reality is, we're all encountering evil almost on a daily basis. Sometimes you may not notice it. You may not even see it, because you have to know what it looks like to begin with. You have to understand what you're actually dealing with. There are so much demonic influences all around us. If you have a computer, you have an instrument there that could actually open up certain channels in the brain, and which makes you more open to what's out there. Right now, you know, we live in this miracle age of technology, and we could see things on the other side of the world in real time. And as a result, we are opening up other areas, and I say other channels within our brain in terms of absorbing this information. When we do so, we leave ourselves wide open. Now, Jason mentioned something about substance abuse. This is another way where a person can be very acceptable to these types of influences because your natural defenses are down. When you partake in any type of substance that will alter your mood and your state and your perception, then something happens. You become wide open to anything that may be negative out there. And when that happens, then you're in a lot of trouble.
I'm glad I quit drinking a few years ago. But, yeah, I mean, the way the world is going, I mean, we're constantly bombarded with violence and depravity that I know it's been going on since man's been around. I mean, man, it's just been crazy. And I, when I say man, I mean humanity, men and women. I mean, there's just so much insanity out there. People have lost touch with caring for others. It's about greed, money, power. And it's really kind of a sad state of affairs that humanity is. So it begs the question whether or not there is some sort of exterior evil influence that could be affecting people. I know with rampant drug use, even prescription drugs, people are like medicated all the time. So you have to wonder. But I did have another question, and this is a benefit for the listeners, is with all these ghost shows going on out there and haunting stuff, publicity, people are really into that now, and it's become really popular. And there are a lot of people out there that feel that their homes are haunted. I was wondering if you could kind of describe to the listeners what these different levels of demonic activity look like. What would one expect to see in an oppression or infestation, you know, in their house? Like, what are some alarm bells that you might run into?
As I touched on earlier, you know, since we are opening ourselves to more information and more knowledge, we're also opening ourselves to some of the dangers that are part of our reality. We live in a world where there is good and evil. There always has to be a balance to know one from the other. So you have to have daylight to have night, and you have to know what night looks like opposed to daylight. And the two have to coexist. Unfortunately, we live in a world that has good, but also has evil. In a demonic infestation, this happens when someone opens the door, whether it's intentionally or unintentionally, to the demonic by imputation. This could fall in the areas of, as you mentioned, cards, you know, seances, the Ouija board, all these other things. All these things can get you closer to the reality of evil, and evil can come into your space. But understand, the whole trigger is what your true intent is at the time. If you're playing with a Ouija board and your intent is to communicate on the other side, no doubt something will happen. As for whether or not it is the demonic, that's another story. Because I believe that the demonic is just waiting just on the other side of that door. Just imagine a door, okay, in front of you, and you have no idea who's on the other side. But now we're dealing with the spiritual forces of the world, and which brings us to the point where this door is the only thing that's separating you from your space and the other space, which is the dark side, which would be perhaps demonic forces. If you choose to turn the knob to that door and open the door, then the demonic or whatever's on the other side will come in. Once you open the door, it's an invitation. So when that happens, the demonic can come within your space. The demonic infestation would be a demon or many demons coming in that may physically move things within the house, may physically cause certain moods, emotions from the people who occupy the house. A multitude of things can happen. And as a result, it's sometimes, I hate to say this, but it's true, It is just the inevitable. We're all so curious. We all want to know what's on the other side of that door. And as a result, most of us will turn the knob and will open that door, not really knowing the true dangers that are involved. But this is all part of our reality. So we live in a world, a beautiful world of miracles, but we also have on the other side a dark world of evil, deceit. And when that happens and you see the balance of both sides, you have to realize that the world that we live in is truly an unbelievable, can be pretty scary place, but this is the world we're in.
Absolutely. It's definitely scary. But, yeah, it's, you know, I'm a little bit skeptical, but I understand and recognize the duality of life. I mean, you have light, dark, salty, sugary. I mean, everything has an opposite. So it would make sense if there's good energy that there would be evil energy as well. But so does it mean that everybody that's experiencing like a legit haunting where they're having the objects move is that always demonic then? Are there other spirits out there that aren't demons that do that?
Yes, yeah. You know, again, it boils down to what your belief system is, okay? The belief system is out there that there are people who are earthbound, and these are human spirits that for some reason have not gone to the other side but chose to stay where they're at. And so this belief system goes on by saying that the spirits that are dwelling our plane of existence, they're here because they're familiar with perhaps their environment. Perhaps they want to stay close to a loved one. Perhaps they love their home and they choose not to go forward but to stay within their false secured surroundings. And as a result, they're basically left behind. Now, this is one belief system that is out there. As a result, this can be true for a person who may have a dark side where they may be fall in the category of a serial killer who may have passed on but chose not to go any further. And as a result, you have a spirit, an angry spirit that can cause quite a bit of disturbance. You know, and then you have, you know, other theories. These are all theories that we tend to accept for no other reason because it makes sense. Now, is this the real actual event, the cause and effect that where things start moving and as to what is causing it? Does anyone really know? Well, I could tell you that from experience, when we're dealing with a demonic force, there are certain things that take place that is would be totally unmistaken, and you would know that it would be from a dark source. Even just standing in a house, inside a house, of a house that is demonic, that has demonic infestation, you can sense certain things. Your senses are heightened. You start smelling certain things. Many smell sulfur. Many hear sounds in the walls, scratching, barking when there are no dogs around. Other things that may take place in the house, sometimes the air feels so heavy that you just sense that something is there. As a result, you know, the whole environment has been changed from what would be viewed as something that's been altered to something that might be considered or identified as supernatural. As a result, this is the type of setting that you would be in. Demonic infestation is more common than anything else, opposed to demonic possession, because a demonic possession would be a complete takeover of mind and body. And as a result, the personality of the demon would be manifested through that individual. So, I mean, it's rare, but it does happen. Last week I had two cases that were demonic possession, possibly demonic possession. They had all the symptoms, and as a result, we had to approach it accordingly, which means, you know, obtaining documentation, history, things of this nature of the individual and all the members of the household. And so, you know, it's a long, timely, interesting thing. Today, as I said, I receive cases every day, and I have to go through each case and I have to weed out the cases that sound like it may be a psychosis or some type of fantasy that they're living. And as a result, you know, I have to weed out a lot of cases. But one case came in this morning, which is really interesting, where this person claimed that not only they were having and experiencing the presence of demonic activity, but they were also claiming that the entire town was infested. From churches to hospitals to various other places, there has been so much demonic activity. I won't mention the city and the country. But I will tell you that these things can happen, very possible. And, yeah, they can be a little scary if you don't know exactly what you're addressing and if you don't have, if you don't, you know, obtain the proper help. This is the kind of thing that you would want to contact an organization such as ours. Our website is www.orderofexorcist.com. The person that requests our services would have to not only give us a synopsis as to what is taking place in their life at that particular time, but they'd have to give us their full name, their physical address, and phone number. The physical address is because all our services are done at the premises, on their premises. So we would come to them. And this is where we would look for physical manifestations that might be taking place at that time at the location. The only way to do that is to be at the location and review everything and give your final assessment. And so this is basically how our organization works.
Well, definitely sounds like a good service. Did you have any questions, Sherry?
Yes, I got a question. What do you think, Ron, about the paranormal teams that are always looking for ghosts and things like that, wanting to find out if the place is haunted and having all these type of equipment? What do you think about that?
I think that it sounds like a lot of fun to me. I think a lot of fun in that. I mean, it's just like the adventure, you know. It's like playing with a Ouija board. Oh, goody, we might be able to talk to somebody on the other side. And so there's a little bit of excitement there. But on a serious note, people who are paranormal investigators, they will probably see more than the average person in regards to the supernatural. And as a result, they should be trained. They should have some type of inner spiritual belief in God and pray for protection, because in the event that they are placed in an environment where there is a true demonic entity, all types of things can happen, from getting hurt physically, which has happened, or even taking whatever's there with them, which can happen. Again, you know, all these things would be possible. So as a paranormal investigator, they should be trained to understand and know that what they're doing is not just a game. You know, it's not just a thrill, but what they're doing is, if they want to establish the real essence of something supernatural, some type of spirit dwelling, or whatever the case is, they should approach it as professionally as possible. They should approach it and understand that if they do run across something that they feel and sense could be demonic, they should immediately stop what they're doing and contact an organization such as ours. We don't do paranormal investigating. What we do is demonic investigating. We don't look for ghosts, demons. Rather, people come to us with their requests, and they request our services. So we go to their location, and they have attested to the fact that these things are happening within their dwelling, and as a result, they need some type of intervention, so they would call our organization. And that's basically how it works. So we have paranormal investigators and organizations that contact us when they feel that it's just a little bit out of their area of expertise when it comes to the demonic. When that happens, then, of course, we would communicate with the main person involved, that would be the victim, and or family members if there's a guardianship in place, and then we would take it from there. And that's basically how it works.
How many times does it take for you to get rid of a demonic possession or a demonic area where it's infested and everything? What does it vary depending on how long it's been? Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Sure. When it comes to anything regarding demonic, there is nothing that I could tell you that is that would be common. In fact, everything is so unique in itself. Ritual of exorcism can take, and to be successful, can take 3 hours, could take 3 weeks, it could even take a couple of years, especially if there's a multiple possession involved, which means that you'd have to be perform the ritual in a repetitious fashion until every demonic entity is out of that person. It could be a long, dragged-out thing, or it could be, as I said, a couple of hours. It just depends. One of the main factors, I think, in regards to success is how the victim feels. The victim has to have a desire to want to be helped. They have to have have the emotion that they are in a lot of trouble and they need our help, our assistance. And if they're willing to work with us, then we could possibly expedite the whole process, even though we still have to go through the ritual, we still have to do all the other things that are involved, which includes sacramentals. You know, we use this along in our rituals. And sometimes after we leave, there can still be, especially in a demonic infestation, when you leave the premises, things within the immediate environment may seem to get worse before they get better, okay? And it sounds kind of like, and it may be a little hard to understand, but as you go through the process, the demonic spirits may go through a period of retaliation. When that occurs, then things might escalate to a point and then slowly dissipate. So, and that's after our team has left the premises. So, there's a lot involved in here. And unfortunately, we live in a world that's full of evil, if you will. Demonic influences are all around us, and as a result, we've been busy. And a lot of our investigators, even as I speak, are working on cases now in regards to demonic infestation, and as a result, they're collecting information, and that's basically how it goes.
Wow.
And we've talked several times before, and you know me being kind of a quasi-skeptic, some of the stories that you've told myself and the show in the past actually make me kind of more of a believer. And one of the stories that you talked about was, and I don't know if you're willing to talk about it tonight, was when you were injured, because I find that fascinating and compelling. Is that a story you'd be willing to share?
Oh, sure. You have to understand, I've been doing this for quite a few years. And as a result, I've been hurt physically many of times. I've been hurt when I was just doing a walkthrough and something came from another room across the hall and made a complete 75-degree turn and struck me on the head. It was a lamp. As a result, you know, it would be physically impossible for something like that to happen, but it can happen. A few years ago, I was involved in an exorcism ritual, and I was struck on my left side 3 times. It felt like someone was swinging a baseball bat or a 2x4 and slamming right to my side of my body, my left side of my body. Immediately after the ritual, I had a shortness of breath, and as a result, I went to my family physician, and he suggested I have x-rays, which I did. And then he called me and told me I had to go to the emergency room immediately. Apparently, I had a 2-liter sack of blood around the heart. So I was in the hospital for about 30 days. I was in intensive care. I had 3 operations while I was there to relieve the blood that was around my heart. They washed my lungs out. They did a whole lot of other things. That was all related to this supernatural event, if you will, something where an invisible entity had interacted and actually struck me. And as a result, It's interesting. While I was in the hospital, I have a lot of friends on Facebook, and I have a lot of friends were calling the hospital and sending me cards, and it's interesting. You know, the world becomes a much smaller place when you realize how many friends you truly have. And I will always remember all of those that had contacted me while I was in the hospital, and I really thank them. And it was well, if you don't mind the term, it was a blessing for me to know that I had so many friends. But it was an experience that I'll never forget. I think I may have relayed this story to you before in regards to a force that came out of my computer. Did I ever tell you the story about this?
Oh, yeah. I love hearing the stories, and I think the listeners would love to hear as well because, you know, there could be something to it. I mean, when I hear you talk about your experiences, it's a lot more believable, you know, than watching documentaries on it because, you know, it's more compelling. And your stories are great. I love hearing them.
Well, what's interesting in regards to the things that I tell you, in regards to what happened to me. And I was in a San Antonio community hospital in Upland, California. I was there about 2 or 3 years ago as a result of this episode. The doctors, even to this day, have no idea how I succumb to my injuries. They removed the sack of blood around my heart, but they had no idea how that was created. And they have no idea as to the origin of that particular condition. And as a result, it's all documented. I mean, you know, the hospitals keep records, and they have no idea. I was in the hospital intensive care for 30 days, 3 operations, incredible. But let me tell you what happened to me about a year ago, maybe a year and a half ago. One of the things that I do is sit in front of my computer and I review assessments. These assessments are taken from cases that our investigators have investigated, and they have sent me the evidence in regards to demonic involvement. As a result, I sit in front of my computer and I review the videos, the tapes, the CDs that they send me in regards to the actual investigation. They take from the very beginning, from the interview, all the way throughout the walkthrough, the in-depth investigation within the house, outside the house, and they give me photographs and documents that will support the case if it's truly a demonic involvement. So what I do is I sit in front of my computer, and I go through these assessments. These assessments may have been done a week or 2 or 3 months ago because we're still waiting for documentation. And then when all the documentation comes in, I finally sit down and I watch the final assessment. Well, here I am watching an assessment that was done about a month earlier. It was done a month ago. And as a result, it was done around the world. And they sent me the information a month later. I'm watching my monitor, and I'm paying close attention to what is going on within that environment. I'm paying special attention to any type of manifestations that may occur as a result of some form of entity being present. So I'm watching my screen. Now, I have to explain this and go away from the story for just a second and explain to you in detail that the demonic entities, they live outside our time and space. Now, that means that 1 second in their time could be 100 years in our time, and they can move back and forth in regards to time. Okay, now keeping that in mind, once again, I'm in front of my computer, and I'm watching the monitor, and then I see this what seemed to be a dark surge, a dark shadow coming from one end of the screen to the other, and then it flashed in the center of the screen and went straight into my face. I felt a large force, a surge, if you will, forcing me from in front of the keyboard of my computer and throwing me back to the backside of my chair. The force was so strong that, and keep in mind now, I'm watching this assessment that was done a month ago. And yet, because it's dealing with the demonic, it was as if I was watching it in real time, in live time. So what was happening there was happening in my immediate area, like a month later, but I'm seeing it as if it was the real time. I hope I'm explaining that clearly.
No, I get okay. That's wild.
Now, let me tell you what happened at that point. I lifted my shirt because I felt a pulsating pressure on my left side. And what it was a handprint. It was an actual black and blue. In fact, I had posted some of these pictures on Facebook and showing you the actual bruise. It was five fingers and a palm, and they looked like a bruise on the side of my body. I immediately went to the hospital, and the same hospital where I had the operation, those three operations, you know, for the last episode I had with the demonic. I went to the same hospital, and they immediately, because of my history of what had taken place a few years before, they immediately scheduled me for an X-ray, a blood test, and a CAT scan. All three of those things, like, immediately, because this was very, very odd to see a palm, of someone's palm, something that had five fingers in a palm. It was very interesting to see the actual imprint of that particular force that pushed me away from the keys. So I'm in the hallway. I'm sitting on a gurney in the hospital, and I'm waiting for the results and the tests. And as I'm waiting, a group of nurses and orderlies happened to go by, and my shirt was open, and you could see the bruise. And one orderly, or maybe may have been a nurse or a technician, said something to the effect, "Wow, that guy must have got into a fight with Mike Tyson." Well, obviously,
wow.
They had no idea that the person I was fighting was more powerful than Mike Tyson. and so about half an hour later or so, we were waiting in the hallway, and then the doctors came, and they said a very familiar statement, which I heard a couple of years back, prior to that, and that is, we have no idea where that bruise came from. We checked the blood test, you know, to see if there was a blood clog. We went through the X-rays. You know, we did the CAT scan, and we're right back to, you know, to where we started. We have no idea. And then they asked me if I was in a fight. Because, you know, it was obviously something had made contact with the side of my body and left an imprint. And as a result, that is, so help me God, it's a true story. And as I said, I posted it on Facebook. I have, you know, as you know, I almost on a daily basis, I put out posters in regards to what we do, various situations, and if anything else, just to educate the public and also let the public know that we're available. If they ever have any problems in the area of demonic, you know, issues, we would be there to help them. Unfortunately, we do have a waiting list, but we're still there, and we'll still get to you when we can. And we work each case, you know, with much diligence, to say the least. Anyway, that's my my story about the hand imprint. Very interesting, and that was the first time I was ever attacked by a computer. That is my computer. felt this surge come out from the screen and threw me back to my chair. It's one of my most interesting stories, I think.
It is interesting. It's like dealing with, like, I don't even know, quantum mechanics or time and space. And what do you think about that, Sherry? What would you do if something, a force came out of your computer? I would run out of the house and never return.
I think so, too. I do have a question, Ron. What would you say, how would you prevent not only your home, but also yourself from any type of demonic influences for our listeners? What would you say?
I would say the only sure relief in regards to anything possibly happening would be death. Of course, there's not much you know, living when you die, but that would be an escape from the problem. And the reason I say this is because everyone is a target, and everyone in one point in life will experience something that would be considered something from the dark side, perhaps even demonic. Every one of us will have experience at one time, in one point in one's lifetime. You will, and it will happen to you, because it's all around us. And you know, the more interest you have in the paranormal, the more information you take in and more knowledge that you take in, the more likely you're going to be confronted with something in this nature that could be considered demonic or something, or some type of spiritual entity will interact with your person at one point in time. The whole key is, the more you learn, the more possibilities can become part of your real life, and as a result, you know, you may want to perhaps contact someone in our organization, and perhaps we could help you.
I've done quite a few paranormal investigations, and thankfully, I don't recall ever running into anything I thought was like pure evil. I ran into stuff I can't explain, but thankfully, nothing that, you know, I would consider to be evil. I have been in locations where you walk in and you just kind of feel that heavy air. It's hard to describe, almost like walking into a wall, but I don't know if that's demonic or not. But it's
a good idea when talking about these subjects that you have something around you that's made of wood. So when you make statements like, well, it's never happened to me before, you could at least knock on that wood.
Okay. You're
not even close to the half of your life. You still have a long life ahead of you. Believe me, you're going to experience things you never thought you'd ever experience, especially if you're curious. And if you're curious about certain things, things will fall into place, and your whole gravity of understanding the situation may even be heightened. When that happens, then these things that we're talking about can happen, and you'd be all part of it.
I found some wood and I knocked on it. But so what keeps you going? I mean, when you have these major medical events or these psychic assaults, I mean, if it was me, I probably would have just hung up the towel and say, enough is enough. I value my life. What keeps you driven to help people at the expense of your own health?
We all have a mission in life. Perhaps your mission is to talk on blog radio stations and give out some message to the public. Maybe that's your mission. Maybe you have other missions in life, like maybe your mission in life is to take care of your puppy or your kitty cat. Or maybe your mission in life is to help your neighbor or do something that would be out of who you really are. I think the real substance of a person comes from when you could put your words into action, and when you could help someone that needs the help. If everyone in the world would understand that concept and actually perform that concept in terms of helping someone, you know, this world would be a lot better, a lot safer place, and people would really benefit from all the beautiful things in the world. Unfortunately, that's not going to happen. I get some hate mail sometimes where people tell me that I'm a phony, that there's no such thing as demons, that I'm just trying to scare everyone, and that everything that we're doing is all, you know, science fiction, and as a result, you know, it's not valid. All I could say to those people is give it some time. I think I mentioned in one of my postings about an interesting email that I received. The sender was a person who identified themselves as Lucifer. And as a result, this person, Lucifer, has been sending me emails every few months. And, of course, to say the least, it's nothing flattering per se. He doesn't say anything good. But that he says it's an attack, perhaps even a mental attack in trying to disrupt what I do and what I feel and what I talk about and what I do in regards to following my mission in life. To answer your question, why do I keep doing what I'm doing is my only response is because it's my mission. This is why God had placed me in this world, to maybe enlighten someone. If I could help just one person in all the thousands upon thousands of people that I come in contact with, then I've been successful in carrying out my mission.
Does good always trump evil?
I'm sorry?
Oh, go ahead, Sherry.
Oh, I have a question, Ron. Do you feel that if you were to just do a prayer, would that protect you for, you know, like any type of influences? Would that would have helped you?
A lot of people pray the St. Michael's Prayer, and they say it as a form of protection. But understand, it only boils down to your inner belief system, what
okay.
your true intent really is. If you feel that you have the ear of God and you could talk to God and you feel and it makes you feel good and you feel comfortable, then perhaps that's what you're doing. You're communicating with God, and perhaps He is protecting you. But I think that the whole key thing is to have that dialogue. I think that you want to acknowledge the fact that we're not an accident. We're not on and living in this world by some kind of coincidence. This is a real life situation. We are here for a reason. And whatever that reason is, it may or may not be revealed to some. My particular scenario, it's been revealed to me many years ago. And so as a result, I know and I believe that God has protected me and has kept me safe. And I'm still here another day where I could say hello. And, you know, if you need any assistance, I'm going to be right here. All you have to do is ask, and I'll do whatever it takes. So that's my purpose and my mission. I think that if you pray and if you establish some type of relationship with God, then I think that your chances of being protected would be pretty good. Would you be totally protected? I really can't say. I will say it really depends on your most inner belief systems and what your relationship is with God. And as a Christian, Jesus Christ is our Lord.
It seems to me that you were saying that intention is really the main factor with why these evil forces go after people. So it's probably, I would imagine, not for a person that isn't opening the door, isn't looking for that, it's probably not very likely that they'd have that sort of demonic problem. At least I hope so, because I know I'm not looking for it. But well, I'm talking about it, so therefore I'm probably giving it.
I use the door as a metaphor, but actually if you look out the window, you're interacting with something on the other side through this transparent glass. So
yeah.
Even by looking at the window, you might still be opening up certain things that should be remain closed.
Here come the nightmares. But
you know what? You put a hole in your backyard and make it as deep as you can, and try to cover yourself with some type of camouflage. And I hate to tell you, but you're still not safe, because the demonic knows who you are, where you live, knows all about you, and unfortunately, he is part of your very awareness, very surroundings. He's all part of it. And so, I mean, I don't mean to preach or anything, and I hope I'm not coming off too strong, but I will tell you that there is a real Satan, there are real demons, and they're out to hurt you. Their whole purpose is to have you succumb to them. Their whole purpose is to wear you down to a point where you want to give up, where you want to give up whatever and whoever you are. You maybe even give up your very life. And that's the whole purpose of the demonic. It's here, and it wants to assault God's creation. And that's who we are. We are God's creation. And it will continue to wait for the opportunity to attack. It'll wait for you to open that door, turn the doorknob, or look out the window to the other side with curiosity. It's waiting for you to interact with him. And as a result, it can be very frightening. But it's all part of the reality of our world and the world we live in.
So the demonic forces, kind of, they're omnipresent and they know everything. You know what it reminds me of is the National Security Agency, you know, listening and knowing everything. But the thing that one that I wonder about is, so we're kind of fish in a in a bowl. And that's what I don't understand. It's we're all put here and we're being fought over by good and evil. And that just doesn't seem fair, but maybe the universe isn't fair.
Always remember now, when the opposite of life is death, the opposite of light is dark or darkness. You have to have the opposite exist. Even if we were those little goldfish in a big goldfish bowl, we have to take the bait. And if there's a fishing line down there with something that looks real appetizing, we may go for it. And if that be the case, then, you know, we may get exactly what we wished for. And unfortunately, it may not be as good as you think it might be. It could be something that could be totally demonic. And if that happens, well, you might be nibbling on the wrong bait.
Yeah, I don't know. It just seems, I just wish, part of me wants to have a better understanding of what's going on, and then part of me doesn't. You know, ignorance is bliss. And it's like, I kind of want to reach out and see and figure it out, but no, I kind of don't because I don't want bad things to happen. I can't. Not knowing about it is better than knowing about it. You know, the purpose of life, why we're here, good and evil, that sort of thing.
Yeah, I understand that you and everyone who's listening to our voices have already crossed the line because we're curious. We think about things that could be, and then we think about things that are beyond our realm of what our true understanding should be in regards to our very existence. When you cross that line, and I call it the paranormal line of curiosity, when you pass that line, you're open to so many things. So, Jason, my dear friend, you've already crossed the line. Things could happen, and if they do, you should hopefully have the wisdom to recognize it for what it truly is.
Well, I certainly hope nothing happens. I mean, I've seen my fair share of spooky stuff, but I try and write it off. In fact, the place where I'm living now used to have all sorts of creepy stuff happen, but it hasn't happened in several years. But if it happens, it happens. I think the opinion, you know, the skeptics and what's going on in the paranormal world, I think it's healthy to talk about both sides, and I think your message is important. I don't doubt it. I just think that when I focus on things too much, I give it power, so I try not to think about it. And I do recognize the fact that just talking about it does kind of, I'm looking through the glass, maybe I didn't open the door, but, you know, I understand there's an element of risk, but I think the message is important. And it looks like, you know, we only have a couple minutes left, so I wanted to give you another opportunity to get your contact information out there.
Okay, very important. When you contact us, make sure you give us your physical location, your address, your phone number, and your full name with some details as to what's going on. You would do that by visiting our website, www.orderofexorcist.com. And once you, you know, we have a new website, and it has a good, fresh look to it. So feel free to visit our website, see some of our members in other countries and what they're doing, and feel free to do that and contact us if you need us. And if you need prayer requests, we even do that. We have the Order of St. Hilda, and they will take your prayer request and just tell us, you know, what the problem is and what your request is, and we'll take it from there.
Awesome. Well, Archbishop Pha, I want to thank you so much for once again coming on the show, and hopefully we can talk to you again soon. It's a subject that really is, I mean, you can't stop talking about. There's so much information out there, but I want to thank you for sharing all that for our listeners, and thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me. I really enjoyed myself as well. Thank you.
Great.
Thank you, Ron.
You're welcome. Thank you.
All righty. Archbishop Ron File, thank you for coming on, and we're almost out of time. We got about a minute left, and we haven't scheduled a guest for next week. We're kind of running sort of impromptu lately, but I know Sherry, you have some good leads going on.
Yes, I do. I think I'm working on getting perhaps a gypsy.
That would be awesome.
That's going to be something different, and maybe interview her. I'm going to be doing an interview this week and see if she might be interested in giving us information about being a gypsy and perhaps shamanic journeying. So we'll see what happens.
Does she do, like, gypsy curses? Because when I was talking to you before, I was talking about when you said you were thinking about getting a gypsy on the show. The first thing that popped in my head, and I don't know because I like to watch movies, but it was that movie, that Stephen King movie, Sinner, you know, where they had the gypsy curse. The gypsy rubbed his cheek and they said, suddenly became deathly thin. I would really love to hear something about that.
Oh, what's that? I have no idea. I will find out.
Yeah, we need to know about that.
Okay.
All right, well, we're about out of time. And one of these days, and this is probably going to be a last-minute thing, I'm going to do a UFO show. And the guest is going to be myself. I don't know when we should do this. Well, if we don't get a guest, maybe we'll do it next week, because I might be a skeptic with ghosts, but I have some really, really bizarre personal UFO stories that I think are going to blow the listeners away. And not just like hokey stuff. I'm not talking about seeing like something shoot across the sky. I mean, it is really, really out there. So hopefully we'll get to do that soon. We'll keep everybody posted. And with that, I think we'll conclude the show. Thank you, Sherry, once again for co-hosting. And thanks, Archbishop Ron File, for coming on. Good night, everyone.
Good night, everyone.
And I'm going to end the show with a promotion we have for Archbishop File. So here we go. Good night, everyone. Hope you have a great week.
The Order of Exorcists. Of Exorcists.
There is a lot of good in this world, but with good, you must have the duality of evil. There are dark forces out there. You might not see them or be able to sense them, but they are there, waiting to prey on your weaknesses. If you have a desire to help others in need that are dealing with these dark forces, you can check out the Order of Exorcists under the jurisdiction of Sacred Order of St. Michael the Archangel. The Order of Exorcists is looking for exorcist investigators. You will be trained to make first contact with the clients, conduct interviews and demonic investigations. Once that is completed, you will turn in an assessment for further action. If this sounds interesting to you, you can contact orderofexorcists.weebly.com for more detailed information.